When it comes to Patrick Peterson, Cardinals GM Steve Keim is like Enterprise Rent-A-Car. He'll pick you up.
Well, it certainly didn't make me feel good. But I don't know, man. Like, maybe Sunday night at 12:01, I'll drive to Scottsdale and pick Pat up.
He'll pick you up.
He'll pick you up.
He'll pick you up.
That's good. Hey, Pat.
It's Steve.
Yeah, come on. Let's go.
I'm sleeping.
Time to go to work.
Come on, babe.
I don't have to be here till 7.
Let's go.
Hop on in. I got some donuts, some coffee. Come on in the car.
Time to make the donuts.
Patrick Peterson. Boy, selfishly, I wish it was this week.
Oh, my God. Oh, Julio Jones.
Do I wish it was this week?
Me too. Me too. This will be tough. This because they got so many weapons on that offense and got an experienced quarterback. You got good wide receivers. You got one of the greatest ever. This will be a tough matchup, you know, for the Cardinals with Patrick Peterson. It's a tough matchup. Without him, it's a very, very difficult game. They're going to put up points. They're going to move the ball up and down the field. The Cardinals, just without Patrick Peterson, they're going to have their hands full.
Yeah, I mean, even with Patrick Peterson, and I'm glad you mentioned that, Jones has produced against the Arizona Cardinals in years
past. Oh, my God,
yeah. I mean, I think it was last year, it was like 9 catches, 80-something yards and a touchdown. Or a couple of years ago, 3-4 years ago, he just went off against the Cardinals. So even with a great shutdown corner like Patrick Peterson, a guy like Julio Jones can get you. But now, what you're going into with this game, with this young secondary and all of those rookies that are going to be on the field, you've got three that are going to get a ton of playing time, you would presume, between the Thompson twins and Byron Murphy. And Byron Murphy can hold his own, but the Thompson twins are still kind of integrating themselves into what's going on out there. You're going to have to do all sorts of bracket coverages and zone type stuff and double team them and do what you're not going to put one guy on him. And because of that, hey, look, there's Mohamed Sanu, and he's got a favorable matchup. Or, there's Calvin Ridley. He's got a favorable matchup.
I mean, you can't take multiple weapons out, because you don't have the talent to do that. You got to say, what do you want to stop? Do you want to stop the run? Do you want to stop Julio Jones? What do you want to stop? So I think you try to go into that game like, I got to limit Julio Jones. I got to limit him. He's dynamic. So everybody wants to stop the run, but you can't stop all of those wide receivers.
Yeah.
You can't. There's three really good ones.
Larry Fitzgerald from yesterday, he too is excited to get Patrick Peterson get Peterson back as his suspension ends as soon as this game is over.
Well, I would love to have him back against Julio this weekend. You know, that would be nice, but having him back is going to be great. I mean, I'm very close with Patrick. Been together for 9 years. We've spent a lot of time. My family spent a lot of time together. And so I've missed him. You know, I talk to him every day still. But, you know, you miss seeing him. And obviously you miss his play on the field and what he can do.
And Fitz said when Peterson comes back, it obviously helps everybody.
His ability to shut down one side of the field, you know, makes teams essentially have to play with, you know, two-thirds of the field. You know, you don't have the ability to complete many passes on him. It creates opportunities for Chandler and Sizzle and all the other guys rushing the passer, because, you know, the quarterback looks over there, there's nothing there that gives him another step to get to the quarterback, you know. So he helps out tremendously. And obviously, you know, we have a young secondary. We got two safeties that are starting in the back end that are rookies, you know, gaining experience and, you know, having that veteran leadership back in the out there on the field in the classroom. It's going to be great.
Is it wrong to assume that Patrick Peterson makes his defense that much better that quickly?
No,
he's
one of the
either.
Best players at his position.
I don't think he's
one of the best players in the game at what he does.
Yeah, I don't think it changes a lot. I don't think it's wrong to assume at all that quite literally the minute he steps back on that field for them in an official capacity, it gets better like that.
Yeah, because, you know, now, like in a baseball analogy, your ace now, you know, your number one pitcher, if the ace comes back, he now bumps down to number two. So now instead of going up against another team's number one, he's going up against another team's number two. And your number three, instead of being number two, now he's back to being a number three, and he goes up against other team's number three. Well, it's very similar in football. I mean, you've got Patrick Peterson. Now, the one thing that is fascinating to me is just this would be the typical game that you want to slow it down, use the clock, not play hurry up. The Cardinals they've used up tempo, no huddle offense, 33.6% of their plays. It's far and away the largest rate in the NFL, and the biggest in the NFL. 33.6% of the time, they are in that no huddle hurry up. They're playing quick.
Right.
Do you want to do that against the Falcons?
Great question.
I mean, I don't know. Like, typically, like, you would think a normal coach. Now, you may want to do it because their defense sucks. Their defense is terrible. and you want to put as much pressure on that defense as possible. But an old school coach would be like, I don't want that guy having the football, Matt Ryan. Mm-hmm. And I see what they do offensively, and I don't want them getting a lot of possessions. I want to limit the amount of possessions they have and limit the amount of possessions I have, and then we'll play a closer game.
Yeah.
I don't want to play. We're having a hard time in the Cardinals. Like, if it's talking about it, the Cardinals are having a hard time in the red zone. So, I mean, that's a lot of field goals if you get a lot more, possessions.
No, it's an excellent point. And there's a couple of things going into this game where you sort of wonder, okay, the tendency for Cliff is to want to play fast. Does it make sense to want to play fast in this game? That's a good question. The tendency of Cliff had been a lot of 10 personnel. But they went away from that last week. Was that because they didn't have Kirk and Bird? Or was that because they thought that was the best matchup and they're going to do whatever? Because they might get Kirk and Bird back this week. Does that mean the return of 10 personnel because they're fully staffed at wide receiver? Or will they stick with what worked against the Bengals last week in going away from the 10 personnel and seeing more two tight end sets and seeing more two wide receiver sets out there on the field? It's all, and here's another kind of interesting factor going into this game. Do you blitz the hell out of Matt Ryan? I mean, they don't run. The Atlanta Falcons running game is virtually non-existent. I read somewhere that Matt Ryan throw the Falcons throw the ball more than any other team in the league.
They've been behind a lot, too.
And they have been behind a lot. But like 79% of the time they're chucking the ball, right?
Yeah.
With such a young secondary, do you need to go blitz crazy on Matt Ryan to try to force him into bad throws? He throws a lot of picks.
And he's a statue.
He's not very mobile.
Right.
He doesn't run. Do you blitz the heck out of him?
I would.
I mean, you're the only team in the NFL that doesn't have an interception yet.
Yeah, I would.
If you're the Cardinals. The only team in the whole league that doesn't have one. The Patriots have, what, 14? Now,
the defense is unreal.
14 interceptions on the season? Yeah. Yeah, we'll talk about that in a little bit.
How about this? Listen to this. Sports Illustrated. It's time for the Bucks to trade for Patrick Peterson. This is Sports Illustrated. Big column in SI today by Luke Easterling. The Tampa Bay's young secondary needs a veteran presence. Shutdown corner. Bruce Arians came out of retirement. Time to put these two together. Your trade deadline's coming up. So these rumors are going to start to fly now. Todd Bowles is there. Has improved the defensive success. Like, they've got a gigantic story in SI about how the Bucks should trade for Patrick Peterson.
I'm laughing about what you said at the beginning of that, though. The Bucks need a veteran presence in their secondary.
Yeah, so do the Cardinals.
So do the Cardinals!
Yeah. Peterson is exactly the kind of player this team needs. Big physical athletic corner, can neutralize an opposing offense's top pass catcher.
He's exactly the kind of player the Cardinals need.
Right.
Exactly the kind of player. I mean, sure, the Bucks could use him. So could the Cardinals badly. Now, I'll, never say never if up to the trade deadline, but what are we talking about here? What sort of a package could you possibly
he says, Peterson's going to be 30 next summer, which could put him in the sweet spot for the Bucks in terms of trade value, saying that he's not likely to command anywhere near the same trade compensation as it costs for the Bucks to land someone like Jalen Ramsey. Yeah, well, like, hey, no dirt. Then they're not trading him.
I'll go back to what?
Hey, will you take a second round? No. He's not getting traded, first of all. But it is interesting that Sports Illustrated right now is trying to put Patrick Peterson in Tampa Bay.
It is. Well, I mean, Todd Bowles, Bruce Arians, the need is there, and there's just this assumption that the Cardinals, that he doesn't want to be here, and maybe, look, we all went through that over the last 6 to 8 months. We all know what Patrick Peterson said and what he did and all that. I'll be really curious to see how, I'm sure he'll toe the company line, but I'll be curious to see with what tone does he toe the company line when he's back on Monday, right?
I guarantee you he's going to be pitcher perfect, man.
Enthusiastic, happy to be back.
Happy to be back. I miss the guys. Can't wait to help. It's so hard to watch. It was very difficult, and love this organization. I mean, he's not.
Yeah. I go back to what Steve Keim said a few weeks ago when all those Jalen Ramsey rumors were running around and he went on Doug and Wolf for his weekly visit. And the general manager of the Cardinals said, look, I can't talk about a guy who's under contract with another team. I'll tell you this right now. We're not trading Patrick Peterson.
No, they're not.
We're not trading Patrick Peterson.
No, and I've said that. How many times have I said that?
A thousand
times.
They're not trading Patrick Peterson. And they're not going to.
They're not going to trade Patrick Peterson.
It's just one of those fantasy land speculative stories where you look at a team with a need, and given the history history that he's got with Todd Bowles, it's an absolute fit. But everything the Bucks need out of Patrick Peterson, the Arizona Cardinals desperately need out of Patrick Peterson. There's no difference.
And he could still be good for a few, for three more years. He could still be a really good corner in this league.
Well, this is coming up, and we want you to take advantage of this, which is why you need to text Blitz to 620-620 as soon as it is safe for you to do so, because we want you to Blitz the Bayou with an all-expenses-paid trip for two to New Orleans to watch some football, eat a little gumbo, go along with Bird Gang Travel Club, invite me and Gambo. We've never been to New Orleans. Text the word Blitz to 620-620 for your chance to win.
I'll
again,
go.
So will I. Text Blitz to 620-620. Blitz the Bayou, and it is presented by Pepsi. Forget Tom Brady. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is, the way the Patriots defense is playing right now. Plus, one former Cardinal has many Cardinal fans wondering why he isn't still a member of the Arizona Cardinals. We saw it again last night. That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. They came into the game ranked first in like 10 defensive categories. Total yards per game, interceptions, sacks, opponents' passer rating.
Man, I hate this team.
Points per game allowed. They came out of it forcing four more turnovers. They had two defensive slash special teams touchdowns in last night's game.
They made it so bad that the Giants punted with like 7 minutes left in the game, down two scores, because they didn't want it to be any worse.
Right.
And they still scored.
And Shermer got all sorts of grief for that. They still scored.
And they still scored.
They still scored. Yeah. To the point where...
Why are you punting? Why are you punting?
Yeah.
I don't want to give them field, but you're down two scores. I don't want to get... what does it matter? The hell does it matter? Stupidest thing I've ever seen. You're down a couple of touchdowns. Go for it.
Yeah.
I'm going to punt the ball.
Right. I know. It doesn't make any sense.
I want to make the score look closer than it was.
I don't want to be more humiliated than I already am. You know, I want to. That's exactly what it was. I mean, that's exactly what it was. They lose to the Patriots, beat the Giants 35-14. New England is 6-0. The only number you need to, I'm going to give you all those defensive stats. The only thing you need to know about New England right now, +142. +142. Now, they haven't played outside of the Bills. They haven't played anybody. Not anybody.
But there is nobody to play.
Well, there's nobody to play.
There's nobody to play.
That's a great point.
You could say they're 6-0. They played six teams. They played six teams. They're 6-0. They haven't played anybody. Well, really? There's that many teams that are bad? Yes.
Yes.
It's a lot of bad teams this year. It's a lot of bad teams in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
There's very few good teams. That's a really good team, the New England Patriots. Really good. That's why Kansas City losing that game when Mahomes got his ankle, when he hurt his ankle and they lost that game at Arrowhead, crucial. Home field advantage is everything in that game, Kansas City, New England.
Yep.
Pencil it in. I don't see anybody else playing in that game, AFC Championship, besides the Kansas City Chiefs and the New England Patriots. I don't see anybody else.
Me either.
Yeah.
Me either. No, I'm trying
and
to.
That's
think,
why you know.
Trying to think
you,
if there's another team I think could sneak in there, but no.
Kansas City. You want that game? I don't know how. Who are the Patriots going to lose to? We've been talking about Miami going 0-16. Whether that's real? I mean, can the Patriots go 16-0?
Well, let me
They're
tell
10
you,
wins away.
Let me tell you who they have coming up. There's a loss in here somewhere. The Jets on Monday Night Football next week, and it's not going to be there. The Browns, the Ravens, the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Texans, the Chiefs. They'll lose one of those games.
Where is the Chiefs game?
I don't.
Okay. All right. No big deal.
Is it in New England?
It's in New England.
It's in New England.
Damn.
Okay. Yeah. I mean,
What's greater? The chance that New England goes 16-0 or Miami goes 0-16? Can you imagine if that happened in the same division? One team goes 16-0, another goes 0-16. How crazy would that be? AFC East has a 16-0 team and an 0-16 team.
That would be crazy. What's more likely?
Hey, we finished 16 by games behind the Patriots. How? There's only 16 games. Yeah, we didn't win any, and they didn't lose any. Imagine.
I think New England going 16-0 is more likely. I think them going 16-0 is more likely than 0-16.
All right.
How
about this defense of the Patriots, though? My God.
Oh, yeah.
14. Collins forces the fumble. Van Noy returns it for a touchdown. I mean, the Giants went 2 of 11 on third down and fourth down. I mean, that defense is really standing out for the New England Patriots.
Yeah, 14 interceptions, 16 total takeaways. And Tom Brady, who moved into second all-time on the passing yardage list, and he even he, after the game, he was like, he was asked a question if the offense is playing well enough. Listen to him basically shrug his shoulders for about 5 seconds.
What's your assessment of where you guys are as an offense right now? Do you think it's been good enough?
We'll see. We're 6-0, so try to get to 7-0.
Well, that's not exactly.
He sounds like Belichick.
Exactly a resounding answer. He has more rushing touchdowns this year.
Three.
Then Marlon Mack, Frank Gore, David Montgomery, David James Johnson. Conner, LeSean McCoy, Leonard Fournette, Chris Carson, David Johnson, Alvin Kamara, and Adrian Peterson. Tom Brady. While we're at it,
he did throw his third pick.
Yeah. Yeah. While we're at it, Marcus Golden.
Oof.
22 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, 5 sacks, 11 quarterback hits. The former Arizona Cardinal is playing his butt off in New York so far this season. Them some good numbers he's putting
up. Yeah.
Good numbers.
Got to try to get to the bottom of what happened here, but he was okay here, right? He was good. He was okay. He was a good player, but he's playing fantastic right now for the Giants. That was a good pickup for the Giants. And he's young, too. He's 28 years old. He was a second-round pick of the Cardinals,
Second-round pick of the Cardinals.
And he didn't make it to that next contract.
In 4 years with the Arizona Cardinals, he played in 46 games. He started 24. He forced 6 fumbles, 1 fumble recovery. He had 19 total sacks in 4 years. 12.5 of those sacks came in his big breakout year in 2016. He had the most quarterback hits he had in a season was that year, 22. He's already halfway there with the Giants.
Well, they're saying like the Giants had the player of the game thing, and they said one of the Giants who kept fighting all game and really has done so all season was linebacker Marcus Golden, who continues to look like the guy who had 12.5 sacks back in 2016.
Yeah,
they're saying he looks like the player that had that great year.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what he signed for there. I don't think it was for very much at all.
1 year deal.
That's a player. That I'd love to get to the bottom of that and find out what happened there, because Marcus Golden's been playing very well.
Been their best defensive player. He's been their best pass rusher. They got him on a 1 year deal.
Yeah. Well, last weekend, Gambo hit him up and went and said hi. Where is Kevin McCabe going to be this weekend?
The Friday Night Spotlight. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
The Dean of High School Football in the Valley, who hosts on Saturday AZ Preps Live, and he does it from a local Chick-fil-A. Last week, he was in the Took.
The Took!
Hanging out with Gambo. Where are you going to be this week, K-Mac?
Well, and it was great to see Gambo. I feel like I'm part of the team. He brought Ian, the wife, and the kids out there getting us some chicken nuggets for breakfast. And it was good. We have the Tukey Bowl tonight, and I've been there probably the last 17, 18 straight years. But with a struggling Mountain Point and Desert Vista really hitting on all cylinders, I'm going to pass on the Tukey Bowl. I'm going to pass on Brophy and Chandler, two unbeaten teams playing at Phoenix College. You got Cactus and Desert Edge. You got Campo Verde and unbeaten Higley. And those are great games. But I'm headed to the northwest part of the Valley, Notre Dame Prep. They are also unbeaten. Versus Horizon, the Huskies are 5-1. Their lone loss is to 5A or 6A Power Pinnacle. Great matchup there. I want to see these two teams. Horizon featuring a quarterback like Jake Plummer, Jake Martinelli, very escapable quarterback at Notre Dame Prep. They're just flat out loaded. So I'm going to watch that game tonight. And then we'll all wrap it up for you tomorrow. Greenway High and Borgate Catholic are going to join me at Chick-fil-A on 33rd Avenue in Peoria. They call it Metro Center. It's where I grew up, Burnsy. You remember those days? And, by the way, we'll take a trip north to Flagstaff. Also check in with the Coconino Panthers. That's tomorrow. AZ Preps Live from 9 to 11. Again, we'll be at Metro Center, 33rd Avenue and Peoria.
K-Mac, I was always a Fiesta Mall guy. Metro Center was a little far for this Tempe raised guy. We didn't make too many journeys out to Metro Center, but Fiesta Mall, I had the layout of that mall memorized, brother. I knew where every single store was. Absolutely.
All picks and good music. It's the pastimes at Fiesta Mall. That was Burnsy.
So you feel good about Desert Vista taking down Mountain Point tonight?
You know this, Gambo. You can throw out the records in that rivalry. It's there in the Ahwatukee, but Yeah, Mountain Point's just a defeated team with all that's gone on in that football program. And yeah, who knows? Now that I say this, they're probably on the way to the game, and they're going to win a show McCabe. But, that's how they do it. Highland and Desert Vista did it to me last week. Went all the way down to the wire and made me pay 5 chicken sandwiches for Gambo and his family. So that's how I roll.
All right, K-Mac, good stuff. We look forward to hearing you tomorrow. Enjoy your travels tonight. Kevin McCabe, the dean of Arizona High School Football, AZ Preps Live, 9 o'clock every Saturday morning. He'll be out at the Chick-fil-A by Metro Center tomorrow. As we get closer to Sunday, the Cardinals-Falcons matchup feels more and more like a good old-fashioned toss-up. So what does Arizona need to do to come away with their second win of the season? We'll break down some keys to this game next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Why don't we ever do Adopt a Whale event? I mean, adopt a dog is great, but, like, couldn't we adopt a whale?
So bringing the whales to Volkswagen North Scottsdale would probably be logistically difficult.
Yeah, but you don't have to bring them there to adopt them.
Okay.
Set up an Adopt a Whale event.
Call your girl Erin Maloney.
I feel like that's more of a Pacific Northwest thing than a city that's located in the middle of the desert.
You can... I have an adopted whale.
Yeah, why don't
just,
you
I'm
ever,
just saying, adopt the dog in? Is nice, but then you got to take care of the dog, and you got to let it out, and you got to feed it, and you got to do all these things.
I think some people want to have dogs.
And then it climbs up in your bed with you, and then the whale's never going to do that. You don't have to sleep with the whale.
All right.
Now, see,
and then it licks your face, and then it follows you around and loves you unconditionally. Doesn't that sound terrible?
Yeah, really. It greets you at home when you come home every night from work.
I think what's lost on Gambo is the fact that we're trying to promote people adopting dogs.
I think it's great that we adopt dogs.
Really? Oh, it follows you around, and then it jumps into bed with you, and then it does this that you don't like, and it does this that you don't like. It's like, again, but we are actually trying to encourage people to do this, right?
We rescued our Chihuahua.
Should I reread that promo for you guys? Dane Cook tickets, movie passes, and whales. Plus,
one day we should do an Adopt a Whale.
And to be fair to Gambo, I can't believe I'm saying this.
Yeah, wow.
To be fair to Gambo, adopting a whale is a worthy cause,
thank you.
No doubt.
Absolutely. And you could go find the whales but I think
even you would agree,
yeah,
there is a tad more immediate gratification in adopting a dog than there is a whale.
Yes. Yeah.
Just a bit.
I'm a dog guy, not a cat guy. I love dogs.
Well, you're a whale guy.
Whale guy.
Apparently, you're neither,
not
based off of the way
guy.
You were complaining about your dog.
Sometimes you got to do it the way what makes the wife happy. You understand? Happy wife, happy life.
There we go.
Right.
And now
I'm going to swim with 200 orcas next November in Norway.
We just got to the core of this.
You think I'm doing that on my own?
Yeah. Every single day, you show me a video of people swimming with these things, and every single day, I'm going to have a heart attack.
I think that's it for me.
I'm going to have a heart attack. I am going to die swimming with these whales. It will kill me. Oh, yeah. It will absolutely kill me.
When they come swimming right up to you, they're going to eat me. Don't eat me. Don't eat me. Please don't eat me. I'm not a seal.
Sarah had a good poll question about this on Wednesday, and I was reading Revenge of the Birds, site that we like to look at for Cardinals content every now and then, and one of their writers was previewing the game between the Cardinals and the Falcons, and he wrote something, and I hadn't really thought of it quite like this, and I think I mostly agree with this.
Okay.
He wrote that all outcomes are in play when it comes to this game this weekend, and by that he means, could I see a close Cardinals win? Yes. Could I see a Cardinals blowout? Yes.
Really?
Could I see a Falcons close win? Yes.
I don't see a Cardinals blowout.
You don't?
No.
With as bad as Atlanta's been this year, because they've been bad.
Have you seen Atlanta offense, Cardinals defense? What part of that are you taking where they're not going to score any points?
Well, they'll score points, but the Cardinals could score. Oh, let's define a blowout. Two touchdowns or more?
Three scores or more.
Three scores or more?
Three scores or more.
I would peg that one as the least likely of the four.
Okay, at least we're on the same page.
Okay, yeah. Well, I believe almost anything's possible on a football field. In athletic competition, almost anything is possible. I would say that's the least likely of the four. I would say the other three, I could easily see any
Falcons
of those
Falcons win
three.
A close game.
Yes.
Falcons win a blowout.
Yes.
Falcons win a blowout a lot more than Cardinals win a blowout. I'm telling you. I really believe
that. I don't disagree with you. Okay. I've already conceded
I give three of the four. I don't see a Cardinal blow. I just don't. I can't in my head. Like, this is a pitcher thing, right? I don't pitcher Cardinals winning by three scores or more. I just don't see it.
Okay.
Let's say flat out. Like, if that's going to happen, Quinn should just leave at halftime and just, like, I'm getting fired after this game. I'm going to go now.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just... We've seen crazier. Oh, to me, I only give that one credence because you have to kind of consider all possibilities. It was a really well-written piece kind of previewing this game. And one of the things they said you kind of have to look for is, number one, can the Cardinals offense reestablish the deep ball? They've really not been able to do much with that the last couple of weeks. It's been taken away from them. But against this defense, with all the injuries and all the poor play they've had coming off the edge, rushing the passer down the field in their secondary, can you take the top off?
Yes, I think so for two reasons. One, the Atlanta secondary is not very good. And two, based on what Murray's done in these last few weeks, I think they're going to put a spy on him. And I think the guy that we played the cut of Deion Jones, the linebacker, before, talking about Kyler Murray, I think he's the guy. I think he's the spy. So that will be one of the matchups you look at, key matchups. I think he's going to be the guy that's going to have to spy on Kyler Murray. And so they'll keep him in and not going to let him go too far and wander because, you know, they want him to be there when Murray has these four or five design runs that they have every game now. There's four or five design runs from Murray and he takes off and he kills you. And I think that the Falcons are looking at that saying, okay, we got to have a spy on him. And if that happens, that does open up things, especially down the middle of the field for Kyler Murray to throw those 30, 40 yard passes.
Here's Cliff Kingsbury on Wednesday. And once again, talking about the guy we've spent a lot of time talking about this week, Andy Isabella.
Got speed, got quickness. Tough player, can really take the top off, and anytime he's on the field in any capacity, the defense has to know where he's at, and that's a plus for us.
Okay, here's something else that could be a key to the game. 266 yards rushing that they had last week against the Bengals, and the Falcons are one of the not-so-hot rush defenses out there in the National Football League.
The one defensive tackle, Grady Jarrett, has played really, really well. You've mentioned this a couple of times, how good he is. He's got two sacks, five tackles for a loss. Pro Football Focus says he's the third-best run-stopping percentage. He has the third-best run-stopping percentage among all defensive interior linemen who play the majority of the snap. He's only behind Michael Brockers of the Rams and Jonathan Hankins of the Raiders. So he is a guy that is good at stopping the run. I imagine you try to run away from him a little bit. You can do that, but that'll be pretty interesting to see that. Can the Cardinals get back to having a dominant run game after what they did last week?
What does your gut tell you about 10 personnel versus what they did last week?
I think the percentage comes down. I think it comes down from what they wanted to do earlier.
You think it stays about the same from what it was a week ago?
No, I think it goes up. Is Kirk back?
He's game time decision. Game time decision.
I think if Kirk comes back, that percentage goes. Last week the percentage wasn't very high. I think I have it written down here. I'll have to look, but it was a very 17 plays maybe.
I've got it here for you. Hold on. Don't look. I got it here for you. 13 of 71 plays.
Yeah, I think that goes up. I think 10 personnel goes up if Kirk's back.
10 personnel last week. 13 of 71 plays. 3 wide receiver sets. 28 of 71. 2 wide receivers. 22 of 71 last week.
82 plays in week one against the Lions. 56 were with four wide. 56 out of 82 plays. So I think it's going to be somewhere in the middle. So I think they're going to try to find a happy medium of, I don't want to go four wide. You know, they were in 10 personnel 67% of the time in week one, 67% of the time. So I think with everybody healthy, I think that number comes down. Maybe it comes down to 50. But I don't think it stays at 67 or higher because they've had success with the two tight ends, two running backs. So I think that they will go to David Johnson and Chase Edmonds and they'll get those two tight ends on the field. So I think the 67% from week one comes down, but I think the number from last week comes up because Kirk will be healthy.
Make Matt Ryan turn that ball over. I think he's thrown the second most interceptions in the National Football League, and that means...
But the Cardinals don't intercept the ball.
I know, but they don't. They're the only team in the NFL that didn't have one so far this year, which means pressure on Matt Ryan.
I mean, he's still productive. I mean, he's been a hell of a player his entire career. And, you know, transitioning from Baltimore to here, similar type scheme in that they put him in a 3-4 system in base, and he can play that outside linebacker position and defensive end and their nickel packages. He's just a great football player. He's got great instincts, very good against the run, very good against the pass. And he's one of those guys that finds a way to be around the ball and can be disruptive around the ball. So you pair him with Jones on the other side, and it's two guys that you got to be aware of on the edge.
I think for me, this is the most important part of the game. He was talking about Terrell Suggs there. Matt Ryan was. They've got to get pressure on Matt Ryan. If he has time back there to do what he wants to do, he will pick them apart.
Don't you think so much focus is going to be on stopping Jones and Suggs that if you do blitz, you're going to have some guys coming free?
Yes. But I don't think you're going to be able to pressure Matt Ryan. I think you're going to have to gamble this week if you're Vance Joseph. You're going to have to gamble on blitzing Matt Ryan and hope you can get to him before he can make you pay for it. Because if you just give him all day back there,
he's not going to buy time on his own.
No, he can't. He can't. I think you have to come after him aggressively this weekend. I do.
I do too.
You might get burned for it, but I think you have to.
Yeah, unless you feel like you've got a real mismatch early with Jones and Suggs that you could take advantage of.
Yeah. Arizona Sports wants you to blitz the Bayou, win an all-expenses-paid trip for two to New Orleans, watch some football, eat some gumbo, go along with the Bird Gang Travel Club. We're going to start this next week. Text the word blitz right now to 62620 so you can get signed up. Your chance to win a trip to New Orleans. Again, blitz to 62620. The first two preseason games for the Suns, a little up, a little down. So as we near the start of the regular season, what are the best and worst case scenarios for the Phoenix Suns? We'll give you both next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Not that anybody gets excited one way or another about results in the preseason. You're talking about spring training baseball or preseason football records. Certainly not in the NBA, where you cannot look at results and go, oh, they're going to be great because they opened up their preseason by beating the Minnesota Timberwolves at home, or, oh, they're going to be awful because they got trounced at home by the Sacramento Kings. But the Phoenix Suns did get trounced last night by the Sacramento Kings at Talking Stick Resort Arena.
They did. Tap the brakes after that first game.
It was not an attractive preseason outing for the Suns. They shoot 31%, only 18% from the three-point line last night. There were 6 of 33.
And we were just talking about the three-point game yesterday and how much they're going to shoot it. And just Monty Williams in his 5 years in New Orleans, they shot a good percentage, but they didn't shoot a lot of the amount of three-pointers they shot was not very high. So shooting 18%, not what you expected. They've changed the roster around quite a bit. But, I mean, listen, there's going to be a lot of growing pains as they adjust to a veteran coach and his style and system. It's going to take some time. And listen, honestly, like in a nutshell, the team's not good enough to just be competitive in all of the games. They're going to get beat up in some of these games that they play, even against it. Sacramento's a good team. They're a young team. They're good. There's going to be some games like this.
I mean, it was preseason. So you look at the box score from last night. Again, this is nothing to freak out about. This is nothing, I hope, anyway, that nobody is looking at this for anything more than what it is. A preseason NBA game in which, I mean, just look at the minutes that were. Ricky Rubio played 21 minutes last night. Javon Carter played 25 minutes last night. Okay, he's not playing 25 minutes when the regular season rolls around. Oubre made his debut last night. Aaron Baines made his debut last night. Mikal Bridges made his debut last night. Too many turnovers. We saw that again in last night's game. Booker with 18, Ayton with 10, and that was kind of the story of last night's game. It's going to be like, to a certain extent, it's going to be like this when the regular season starts too, though. There is going to be, to your point, sort of that initial out of the gates, how is this going to work, guys learning their roles, Monty Williams learning what he needs to know about the players that he's got. I mean, there's 82 games. It's going to take him 10 or so games to kind of figure out who they are and what they do best. Shouldn't be surprised by that.
I hate doing predictions. I like doing, like, when we do a prediction, I kind of like giving like a range. Sports Illustrated did a story today, best case scenario, worst case scenario for the Phoenix Suns.
Yes.
Their best case scenario was that the Suns win 30 games. Their worst case scenario was that the Suns lose 60. By losing 60, that means you win only 22 basketball games. So their range is 22 to 30. It's a fair range. I mean, it is. It's a fair range. It's only an 8-game range, but 8 games is worst case to best case, because that's how tough the West is. That if you win 22 games, that's a really bad scenario. But if you win 8 more games and you get to 30, that's a great scenario.
Yeah.
Wow. Unbelievable. That's how much a difference they think the West. I mean, I think that speaks for how well they think the Western Conference is, that getting those extra 8 wins to go from 22 to 30 is a big deal.
I don't disagree with that. I think their ceiling is higher than that, though. I think they could
okay,
do better than their best case.
Okay.
I'm looking at their article right now. A sneaky deep roster sneaks up on some teams and crosses 30 wins. Ricky Rubio could be a major help for Devin Booker. If we're setting the bar at 30, and that's their best case. Now they say crosses 30, But I think their best case is better than 30.
They won 19 games last year. They didn't have a point guard. DeAndre Ayton was a rookie. Their coach was fired. I don't think that this team will win any less than 25.
Okay.
I don't believe that they'll win. So I think just rolling the ball out there with Monty Williams as your coach instead of Igor Kokoschkov, with Ricky Rubio as your point guard instead of you named one of the eight guys who played point guard last year, with veterans that care instead of guys like Trevor Ariza and, you know, and the guys that they had last year. I mean, I love Jamal Crawford, but old, very old, did a good job for them. They started the season last year with Tyson Chandler.
Yeah.
With veterans that are still in their prime and can contribute, I don't think there's any way that they win less than 25. So that's just putting the ball out there. Everybody's healthy. They're going to win 25 basketball games.
Right.
The improvement, Bridges a year older, a full year of Kelly Oubre. They're going to win 25 games.
So you're saying their worst case, they cannot reach.
No, I don't think there's any way they win less than 25 games. If they win 23 games, something really, really went wrong. Because they were terrible last year.
They were.
They didn't have a point guard. Their coach was getting fired. DeAndre was a rookie. Guys missed time. They didn't get Oubre until halfway through the season, and they won 19 games. They're going to win at least 25 with the way the roster is right now, my opinion.
So I think for us, and maybe we're looking at this the right way or the wrong way, but if Sports Illustrated is saying the range is 22 to 30, if I'm hearing us right, what you just said and what I said a minute ago, our range on the Burns and Gambo show is more like 25 to 35?
I would have said the exact same thing.
25 to 35. Yeah. So for me, best case Phoenix Suns scenario is crossing the 35 win threshold and getting into 36, 37. So we're playing with the numbers here, but I think on the Burns and Gambo best case, worst case, 25 to 35 wins. And if I'm going to say what is, because I'm basing this off of not just looking at the roster going, oh, I think that's a 37 win team. I've seen analytical websites that have crunched the numbers and they think the Suns are going to win 36, 37 games. Our guy, Kevin Pelton, I think he picked them closer to 38 wins. Of course, we can't ignore John Bloom, who thinks they're going to win 41 games.
But he always thinks they're going to win 41 games.
I'm just teasing him.
Nine teams won less than 35 games last year. Nine NBA teams won less than 35. So if you win 35 games, and I think that that's probably the high point for them. I do. I think 35 is the high point. I would guess somewhere between 30 and 32. I think they'll get into 30s. I really do. I think they'll get into the 30s. 35 would be a really good. They won 19 games last year.
Should be a huge turnaround.
If they win 35, that's a 16-game improvement. You got to understand, you should be jumping for joy. That means they're decent.
They'll be one of the most improved teams in the NBA.
Absolutely.
If they do that.
Yeah.
With that turnaround, they'll be one of the most improved.
Even if they get to 32 wins, it's a 13-game improvement. Like, it's almost like the DJ Swearinger thing. You can't be any worse than 19 wins. You can't be.
Yeah.
They can't be any worse than 19.
His NFL career, it's only 5 games old, but the progress that Kyler Murray is making is undeniable. And we'll talk about that coming up on this Friday edition of the Burns and Gambo Show.